Psalm 122, a song of ascents of David's. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Anderson. So good to look around and see who's with us from around the world today. And we today want to say a special blessing and greetings to those. I see you with us from Cape Town. I saw it was snowing in Cape Town yesterday on Table Mountain. So keep warm in Cape Town. And we look forward to summer coming back to you and warming Cape Town up a little bit. It was good to see with us from Zambia. May God bless you where you are. Good to see our brother. We've been praying this week for as they've gone back to St. Lucia, as both moms have been very poorly, and we've been praying for them. And let's continue to remember them. At this time. So we've got South Africa, we've got St. Lucia, we've got Zambia, and we've got friends from around England, Farnham, and other areas today. And we welcome everybody. That's the joy of being together online. And so not only do we celebrate our gathering and coming together here, but we celebrate too the wonder of being together around the world. And we've got a growing congregation because of what is happening around us. And we hope that you can continue with us as we go forward as well. So we give thanks for you. And we pray that you'll be blessed because you've joined us today, wherever you are, that God will bless and strengthen you. So the memory verse for the children today is, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That is a verse to think about, to consider. But in many ways, that verse, not only is it relevant to us here today, but it's a verse, it's a message, it's a psalm for the church as the church begins to emerge into a new season of God's blessing, of God's rich, refreshing, reviving encouragement. And so as we look at Psalm 122 this morning, it's wonderful today to be able to think about what the psalm is encouraging and what the psalmist is saying when he writes and he reflects on the joy of coming to church. Because effectively, that's what he's saying. I was glad when they said, let's go to church. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of God. And one thing that lockdown's taught us is that the church is not a building. The church is people, God's people. But lockdown has also taught us something else, that it's a privilege and it's a joy, and it's important when we can and where we can to gather together as God's people, whether it's online or together in the sanctuary. And it's a real privilege to be together in this beautiful sanctuary. We come back this morning with a sense of thankfulness that God has given us this beautiful sanctuary, a church shining on a hill in southwest London that God has called us to be part of. This is precious. This is something we should never take for granted, what God has given us. And lockdown certainly taught us that. So as we gather together this morning, we see that there were three specific, really important understandings that David the psalmist had when he wrote about his joy of going back to the church. The first one was this. It is in the second verse, it says, our feet have been standing in Jerusalem. And that message, that thought, that reflection on the feet of God's people says an awful lot in that one verse, in that one sentence. Now, the Bible talks about our feet, doesn't it? It talks about in the Old Testament, it talks about what a wonderful thing it is, how blessed are the feet of him or her who brings good news. How glorious it is to be feet. We prayed for Armin and how he is taking the good news of the gospel to the people of Peru. But it's just important for us here in London, how important it is and how blessed it is to be the feet, to be God's messengers. And David understood that, and he said, our feet have been standing in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was like a picture of the broader church. The temple was where they gathered. But Jerusalem, when it talks about Jerusalem, is a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the church on earth. And it's a picture of a sanctuary for God's people. And so it says this. It says, not only are our feet standing in Jerusalem, but our feet belong to Jerusalem. You know, in Zimbabwe, I don't know why it's the case, but there's something about the way in which the people of Zimbabwe especially love their homeland so much. There's a connection. Thabo Mbeki, one of the last prime ministers of South Africa, said this. He said, there's something about the connection the Zimbabwean people have to the land. And one of the truths of Zimbabwe and the people is that they know what it is to walk on the land of their country. It's true of the patriotic movement during the Liberation Days, where when they were having rallies, what the people said to the young guys coming into the rallies, take your shoes off and walk on the land. Feel the land of Zimbabwe. The children of Zimbabwe, no matter where they came from, whether they were from the farms or the schools, even in the towns. Okay, we got it. And the people of Zimbabwe have always understood what it is to walk on their land and walk barefoot on the land. And so we understand something about connecting to the land because we walk barefoot. Children even sometimes go to school barefoot. Most children know what it is to walk on roads and know what it is to walk in the bush and get thorns and pull the thorns out, but still walk on the land barefoot. There's something about connecting where we walk, where our feet are. And the question this morning is, where are your feet? As we have been away from church, have we been standing within the sense of God's church, of God's people? Have we been aware and have we always walked on the land, as it were, of the church? So David says this, our feet have been standing in Jerusalem. Jesus, when he washed the feet of his disciples, as he washed their feet, he said, Peter said to me, Lord, don't just wash my feet, wash all of me. And Jesus said, no, if I wash your feet, I've washed you. I've washed all of you. Jesus understood something about where your feet are, is where you are. And the question this morning is, where are your feet? And where do you prefer to stand? Do you prefer to stand in the place and in the presence of God and his people? Or are we sometimes tempted to drift and to walk in the ways of the world, into the places of the world. And it's so subtle how we get drawn out there. And we need to come back and stand in Jerusalem, all of us. We need to come out of the streets of the world and out of those places that bring us down and come back into the streets of Jerusalem, to the streets of the church. And David says their feet are standing in Jerusalem. But not only does he talk about our feet, he talks about the fact that we are within the gates of Jerusalem. That there's something about being in Jerusalem that gives us a sense of protection. I was recently in Slovakia, and he and I were visiting castles with where he was married, and what a wonderful, precious time we had, and how amazing it was to visit the castles of Europe in the middle of Slovakia. And what struck me was how the castles were well, and they had these massive walls of protection around them. Because back in the early centuries, in the medieval times, Slovakia was the front line of Christianity against the onslaught of the Turkish Empire coming in, and the Islam-Christian battles occurred right there. On that side of Slovakia. And they built these amazing castles. So when there was an invasion, an attack, everybody could come inside the castle and they were safe inside the castle. And none of those castles ever got overwhelmed because they were so well protected. Well, Jerusalem was a bit like that. There were walls around Jerusalem. And when Jerusalem, during the time of David, was a place, a sanctuary of safety, you could go into Jerusalem and be safe. And we stood, and the people stood within the gates of Jerusalem. Well, it's just the same in God's church. There's a sense in which God's church provides protection for God's people. And if we're not participating in that, we find ourselves isolated and in danger of being taken outside the walls of God's protection of God's church. We see that in 2 Corinthians, in fact, 1 Corinthians, where Paul's addressing the Christian man who had so fallen short in his sin and had not been repentant of it, that Paul said, let him outside, deliver him, take him outside the gates of the church, hand him over to Satan. Not to hurt him, not to destroy him, but that in being vulnerable to Satan, he might be then brought back, knowing that he needs to be safe in the church and redeemed in his heart and in his repentance. That was the goal of that letter. But we too know that we within the church, within the walls of the church, whether we are here in the sanctuary or whether we are online, gathered together week by week within the gathering of the church, we know that when we enter the church and begin to belong to the church, we enter the sanctuary of God's protection. There is a protection for the people of God that is not available to those outside the walls of Jerusalem. And David knew that, and so he would say, our feet have been standing within the gates of Jerusalem. And then he says this. He says, and this third point is really, really important, and I think very relative to where we are today, where the tribes go up to the sanctuary, where the tribes go up to the testimony of Israel. There's something about this word, tribes, that we need to appreciate today more than ever. You see, there's a testimony that comes when the tribes come together and together worship God. There's a powerful testimony in the world when the church comes together of every tribe, of every land, of every nation, and worships God. And now more than ever, this world needs to see what that looks like. So when I go to China with and we visit the church there, the church is 100% Chinese in makeup, maybe from various groups, but It was Chinese. They spoke Chinese, sang Chinese hymns, read the Chinese Bible. And we were welcome there as brothers and sisters in the Lord. But fundamentally, the church was Chinese, and it was like one of the tribes of God's people. In Africa, if you go to the rural places, you'll find churches largely reflecting the makeup of the local village, maybe in the Beli, Zulu in Zimbabwe, or Shona, or one of the villages, and it's largely that tribal group. But if I go there as a brother, I am welcomed as a brother. I can go anywhere. We can go anywhere with where the church gathers, and we are welcomed, whatever the tribe is that's meeting there. And even in England, and even in London, you'll find some churches are largely maybe Asian, or maybe black, or maybe you go out into the countryside a bit, and largely they may be white. But fundamentally, you can go as a brother in Christ or sister in Christ, and you would be welcomed in any church, because the church understands this, that we are of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. But I want to say this. I want to say the church, like the inner city church, like our church that meets around the world, that is a mixture of everybody, of all the tribes, kind of reflects something very, very powerful. Kind of reflects what this verse is saying. Because this verse is saying that the tribes will go up to the temple and they will be a testimony to Israel and of Israel, of God's people. The tribes together become a testimony. What is the church going to look like? What is Jerusalem going to look like one day? It's going to look like this in Revelation 7:9, when we come through the church door, as it were, into the heavenly door. It's going to look like this, Revelation 7:9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude, a huge multitude that no one could count. Then every nation, tribe, people, and language were standing before the throne, before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palms of praise unto their God. And that picture is a picture of what heaven is going to be. It's going to be all tribes, all nations who know and love God through the church, worshiping God, praising God together. And there will be a testimony even in heaven of God's grace to the nations. Well, when we come together like this in our inner city church, we have something very special to share to the world at this time of crisis. And that is what it looks like when God's people come together from every nation, every tribe, every language under the earth. The inner city church of London most, I think, reflects what heaven's going to look like. We are very blessed. The church in China is blessed. The churches in rural Africa are blessed. The churches that are where they are blessed, and we all belong, and we thank God for His grace and His church. But we here are a testimony that the world needs to see now more than ever. Isn't that beautiful? And that reflects Psalm 122, that every tribe, every nation will come together, what, to worship God and be a testimony to the nations. We are blessed in our little church here in inner city London, that other churches don't always have that same blessing. They have the same blessing of grace, but we've got something very special, and we need to nurture that and encourage that. So how do we do that very quickly in closing? Well, first of all, he says in verse 6, we need to pray for Jerusalem. We pray when we come together for Jerusalem. Pray, in other words, for the church. Pray for the blessing of God on the church. Pray for the nurturing and the revival of the church. Never stop praying for the church. Never stop praying, as it were, for Jerusalem. In this case, the spiritual Jerusalem, but even Jerusalem where it is. But never stop praying for the church. This is Jerusalem to us. And we need to pray for our church, that God will bring us together again, that God will bring healing, that we might rejoice and sing without our masks to his glorious name. This is a step forward, but we've got more steps to take to God's glorious name and praise. Won't that be a wonderful day when we can gather and sing and worship him and know that God has brought us through? And then we need to also, in verse 6, pray for prosperity, the prosperity of God's people and God's church. Now, what is he saying? Yeah, he's saying, pray for the prosperity of heart. You know, when I was, again, I'm drawing on recent experience, but in Slovakia, and we were with family, and they lived in a beautiful home alongside a vineyard. But they were all together, and the granddad and grandmom who came down from the mountains were such a humble couple, and they just loved, you could see, they love God, and they're so respectful, and the family was so together. And I just thought, the richness of this family is rich beyond $1 million. You can't compare the richness of being a family that respects and honors each other, where the granddad and grandmom lead the way with faith, and you just see something amazing. That is prosperity. Prosperity is the prosperity of peace in our families, in our hearts, in our lives. Prosperity comes to the child in the poorest village who knows Jesus and whose smile lights up the face even while they're feeling the struggle of being in a poor village. Prosperity is love and peace in Christ. It's salvation in Christ. It's knowing that we are forgiven when we come to the cross. That is prosperity. Pray for the prosperity of the church, of God's people individually. And for the church, pray for the prosperity of the gathered church, that we might together in prosperity proclaim Christ with resources to reach out to the world from London, that we might reach out with joy and prosperity in Christ. So yes, we pray for Jerusalem, we pray for prosperity, but most importantly, and in closing, we pray for peace. We pray for peace. May the peace of God be with his church. May the peace of God be in Jerusalem. I was reading just a very frightening statistic the other day where it said that they're thinking that many churches are going to be closing as a result of the lockdown, are not going to make it after lockdown and not going to get back. They were on the brink, and they're just not going to get back, and they're not going to make it. There was an article just this last week from the Church of England that said, England is going to miss her church when it's gone. Very deep, insightful, argument that if you're following the statistics of what's happening in the Church of England, it's not where it should be. It's not where it once was. And England's going to miss her church when it's gone. And in a way, we need to pray for the peace of the church. This very often what brings down the church isn't from what's happening outside, it's from what's happening within. Conflict within. Brokenness from within. Nothing wrong with brokenness before God, but a dysfunctionalism perhaps from within that is unrepentant. There's something sometimes within the church that is not peaceful that makes the church more vulnerable than we realize. So when we return, let's pray for the peace of the church, for the individual peace of God's people, for the peace of the church and the peace of our community as the church reaches out to the community. We have got great vision. We believe when we come back that we're going to make this, by God's grace, church the sanctuary. We've talked about it in our church meetings together, that this will be a sanctuary for the community, that we will offer opportunities for the community to come and feel at home with us. That is our vision. That's where we're going. But there needs to be peace. You can't invite a community to be a sanctuary if the sanctuary is not at peace with itself. So let us pray for the peace of the church, the peace of Jerusalem. And then with the psalmist, we can say these words, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't the Bible precious to us? Let's continue to worship him as we reflect on those words with our closing hymn. Let's just think about this passage this morning as we prepare to head on home.